So I'm just going to pray and then we'll get to the word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the battle belongs to you, Lord, and that even when the enemy tries to ensnare us or he tries to intimidate us, Lord, it does not stop, Lord, what you're going to do. So, Father God, we thank you that you are fighting for us. Father, we thank you that you are shifting spiritual atmospheres. And Father God, we thank you for what you are going to do this evening. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to be speaking, obviously, on the subject of transformed by truth. But I've named it Builders Assemble. So you've got all the little building blocks. And can I say, I've even got Bob the Builder colours. Yellow is there. Are you impressed?
Yes.
Thank you. Builders Assemble. So if you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to Haggai 1. Some people say Haggai, but today I'm saying Haggai because I'm an Essex woman and it's easier to say Haggai. Chapter 1. So if I'm honest, when the Lord brought this to me, it was an extremely challenging section of scripture. I'm not going to lie. And even myself, I felt extremely convicted. And I thought, Lord, what does this mean for me? And sort of tried to evaluate this with myself. So I hope that I can bring it across in a way that honors God and encourages us. So basically, this is in Haggai. Oh, I'm saying Haggai. Oh, my goodness. In Haggai. And I'm going to read the scripture. And this is what it says. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. So in 587 BC, God's people were brought into exile by the Babylonians. And this was prophesied, you know, by the prophets before, because they turned away from Yahweh, from their covenant God, and they were worshipping Canaanite gods, like fertility gods and all this kind of business. And they turned away from the Lord and from the ways of the Lord. And the Lord said, if you don't turn back, you know, you're going to go into captivity. You're going to go into exile because God always gives us redemption. He gives us an opportunity to repent and to come to him. And yeah, so they were worshipping these Canaanite gods and the gods of the nations. And they departed from God's laws and from his ways. And then in 520 BC, which was nearly 70 years after the Babylonian exile, actually, the Persians had taken over, so it was the time of the Persian Empire, and things had changed. However, the people were saying it was not time to rebuild the temple. So the next section, a call to consider our ways. And this is what it says in verse 3 onwards. It says, then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai, the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does not so put them into a... does so to put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Well, you can imagine how the people must have felt, you know. And you can understand what's going on here because the people, you know, they've just come back from a time of exile. They're excited. They're like, let's build our houses, you know. So you can understand what they're doing. But the Lord was saying that while they were busy sorting out their own houses, the Lord's temple, you know, which was Solomon's temple, was in ruins. You know, God's house was in ruins. And in a way, it was a a challenge to the people. Where do your priorities lie? You know, and God was challenging them to look at their ways. And it's funny, I don't know, some of you might know, but my stepdad owns a double glazing company. And he basically, they do cladding. And you can have cladding done. But actually, cladding is like panels. It's a lot more expensive than just having it painted. You could just have it painted, but this was an extra embellishment. This is something that makes it look even nicer. This is an added extra. And the people were focused on their houses and that the added extras on the houses, the extra money on the houses, that they forgot about the Lord and the Lord's temple. And the Lord is also, you know, saying in this that as they were to reevaluate their ways, that they would recognize that actually there is something so much greater for them. And that comes when God is at the center and their focus is on the Lord and not on everything else. And it's so easy, I think, especially for the Israelites, you know, to be focused on everyday life and building their houses. But the Lord was calling them to look back and to recognize who is the one that brought them out, you know, even from the wilderness before, it is the Lord. So as I said, I found this really challenging. I think naturally as human beings, we want to build up our earthly possessions, you know, and with our jobs and all of these different things. You know, on our new front doors or extensions. But God is saying that he wants to build something really exciting. He wants to build something new. And I feel that he wants us to come into partnership with him in that. So a call to build God's house. And this is what it says, starting from verse 8. It says, go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that lies in ruins. While each of you busies himself with his own house, therefore the heavens above, you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land and on the hills, and the grain, the new wine, the oil, and what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, and on all that labors. And I think even in our context, I feel there's even a spiritual drought, you know, that the Lord has allowed to happen. And the Lord wants to see his glory and the fervence of his kingdom, but are we ready? You know, do we have the preparations in place for this? Before you prepare for a newborn child to come home, you spend weeks and months buying items, researching how to take care of the baby, how to feed the baby. You know, you might get a little nursery, you know, a little room, you know, you put everything in place. And in the same way, I feel the Lord is saying that we as a people of God need to prepare for the glory of God to come and the fervence of his kingdom. You know, and there needs to be plans put in place for the expansion of the kingdom, because there's so many people that are going to come in. You know, there's so many people that are going to be healed and delivered and changed as they encounter Jesus. And I just pray that we are people that are prepared for what is to come. And I think in the same way, we've been in a season of tearing down and a season of stripping, but we are prophetically coming into a season of new things and of growth. And God is now calling us to shift our focus onto the building of his kingdom and his church. But are we individually ready? And then to verse 12, it says, the people obeyed the Lord. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message. I am with you, declares the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and they worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king. And as we step in collectively to go forward and to build the kingdom of God, we are going to see the blessing of God. Those things are going to happen naturally as we shift our focus onto the Lord and to his kingdom and going forward. And I feel, you know, with the hub and all these things that are coming, there's going to be so many opportunities for us as the people of God to help build, help step into. It's going to be a time of harvest and of abundance, but we need to prepare ourselves in our hearts and look and think, wow, Lord, what can I bring to the, you know, occasion? And, you know, as with these leaders, as mentioned, the Lord encourages us that he is with us. You know, we can do nothing without the Lord, you know, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, declares the Lord of hosts. And we know that unless something is built by the Lord, it will not stand. But there is a call to partner with God in this coming season. And what I find amazing about this is Zerubbabel was born in exile, and he had not known the glory of God. He had not known what it was like to come into the temple as it was. He didn't know. And Solomon's temple was apparently beautiful and had pomegranates and all kinds of stuff inside. But I think there's many of us, and there's some that have, you know, that have experienced renewal and the taste of revival, but there's many of us that have not experienced the supernatural power of God or the glory of God. But God wants to excite us and give us a sense of expectation, because what the Lord is going to do in this nation is unlike anything that we have seen before. And the Lord wants to use our churches. He's lining everything up now. We can see it, and I've said to a few people, it's like chess pieces. God is bringing every person in for such a time as this. Every single person is carrying something for the kingdom and for this next season. And it's not by coincidence that every person is here today. But on a practical note, what do we have to build with? You know, it's one thing for me to say, oh, you need to build it, you need to do it, you know, and even myself. But what does that actually mean? You know, if we don't actually know what we're going to build with, or how we can build, or how we can come alongside, then what's the point? And I think there's many of us that are building at the moment already for God's kingdom. I think there's many of us that are doing things that we don't even see, that people don't even see faithfully, but they are putting bricks in for the kingdom. But there's such an encouragement for all of us to come together and realign ourselves with God's will. And as I said, every single person here is carrying something individually for the next season. I actually believe many of you have new ideas and plans that you feel would help build the kingdom. And we are the body, you know. We are the body. We need each other. Every person is valuable, and what you are carrying is valuable. And sometimes we can focus on, oh, you know, the pastor or the person at the front or this person or that person. But every single person is carrying God's presence and carrying gifts for the next season, for the rest of the life. And I believe some God has given gifts that actually are yet to be fanned into flame. That actually there is anointings on some people's lives that they don't even know yet. And there's places that they're going to go that they don't even know yet, which is so exciting. And there's many different ways that we can do this, but I'm going to go into the next slide. So the one that we hear about often, which is spiritual gifts, you know, and natural gifts. And this is what it says in Romans 12, 6 to 8. It says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And I know that every single person here has at least one of those gifts. And they're needed. They're needed not just now in this space, but when God brings in the hundreds of people that he brings in, and when revival comes, we're going to be shocked. The people that are going to flock in. And God has given us these opportunities in our workplaces, at home, you know, wherever we are, to practice now. You know, maybe even ask the Lord, Lord, you know, is there a gift that I have that I don't know? Is there a gift that I can fan into flame? And I even think for me with the preaching, there was a module at uni and I was like, oh, I'm not going to do it. I was like, I'm going to do world religions instead. And one of my friends was like, Megan, you need to do that. And I was like, you know, and I wasn't preaching at the time. I was like, okay then. But what I realized was, even though I was absolutely petrified and frightened and anything like that, that as you step into something, the Lord helps you and partners with you. And it's literally by the grace of God, you know. And I think of Helen Youssef, you know, the Lord said, start painting. And she didn't paint. And then now she creates beautiful pieces. So there's an encouragement for all of us that we might not think that we're particularly good at A, B, or C, but if God anoints it, we can do anything. So, okay, so the next section is new ideas or suggestions. This is one, I mean, I don't know if we could get a box or something, Dean. It's completely up to you, but or you can speak to someone. But if we could get a box or something, if you've got a suggestion or you think, do you know what? I think we should do this or we should do that, you know, if we could have a box and you put it, then, you know, we can have a look at it. And, you know, people might be able to pray about it and weigh it up and whether it's the right thing going forward. But the fact is everyone is carrying something. So the Lord might speak to Keith about something and say, oh, this would be a good idea. Or, you know, and everyone's got a different area of gifting as well. So some people like, Chris is great with the children. You know, I wouldn't say that's necessarily my gifting. But everyone has an area that they are gifted in, and even thinking about, you know, different groups that could be run. You know, say for example with me, you know, I was trained makeup artist. So I think, oh, I wonder what I could do, maybe like makeup classes for people to come in and to encounter Jesus. But everyone's got something different. I think down the road they were doing cookery classes. So it's having a little think. You might not have an idea, you might not have a suggestion. But it's definitely worth thinking if that's okay, you know, to do. And then the last one is giving. So this one could mean giving of time. It could mean giving of resources. It could mean giving financially. And I think actually giving finances is a really big thing. I'll tell you a story. The Lord spoke to me a while ago, and he brought me to the scripture. I can't remember, I think it might have been Malachi or somewhere. And the Lord convicted me because I wasn't giving my 10% tithe. And the Lord said that to me. And I felt so convicted because in it, I can't remember, I haven't got it up here, but the Lord was saying to me that that was his money. And it was almost like I was robbing from him. And I was so challenged, but I thought, Lord, I'm giving my 10%. And to be honest, there's a lot of us that don't know about tithing, you know, and it's something that is so important and integral because the church you know, runs on money. And I can talk about it because I'm not paid by the church, so I'm happy to come and speak. But, you know, we're all in different financial situations. And think about the woman that was only able to give what she can. But when we do give, the Lord uses our finances to further the kingdom. And that goes into, you know, paying people to resources, new opportunities. And this is what it says in Malachi 3 verse 10. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. And recently, I have had some wild financial blessings that I could not have even thought about, and I didn't think about, but the Lord blessed me in so many ways. And I just think, even as we tithe from what we have or give from what we're able to, the Lord blesses that. And I'm not preaching, you know, what's the word? Prosperity gospel. But the Lord provides for all of our needs. And as we sow in, God will provide. And as we seek first the kingdom of God, he will provide. So I just wanted to encourage you. There's many different ways that we can build in this kingdom coming forward. And I just really want to thank you for everyone that's already building. You know, the people that are praying, the people that are coming, you know, even coming together as church family, that's building. But in this season, God is going to bring many opportunities for us as a church family. So let's prepare, let's get excited and see what God wants to do. So I'm going to pray, then I'm going to pass over to Dave. Father God, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, Lord, that you are the God that provides, that as we seek first the kingdom of God, and that as we seek first the building of your house, Lord, that you provide every need, Lord. And you are our good, good Father. And Father, we are so excited about what you are going to do in this place. Father, we are excited about the miracles that are coming. We're excited about the people that you are bringing, Lord. And we're thankful for your glory that is coming. We thank you that you're already here, Lord. And we say, prepare us, stir us up, speak to our hearts, Lord, and encourage us, Lord, because we need your encouragement. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.